Either. Brad Johnson, I'm sure, has come up with heaps of ways to beat some of the best through the business. I wonder what he's got for us in this conversation. He joins us, our Thursday night specialist. Good morning, Jono.
Good morning, Half. Good morning, Whitey. How are you guys?
We are going very well, thank you. Nice to have you with us again. Dusty is obviously one of the key components of this game, but I'm not sure we can somehow inject him with the flu like rats might want. How do you beat him, Jono? I'm going straight to you. How do you beat him?
Wow, it is hard, isn't it? It's one of those difficult ones where you just know that, you know, you might get lucky in your tagger or your team might be able to restrict him. But ultimately, Brett Ratten's right and all the coaches are right with these star players in the competition. We've been seeing it throughout history. You just hope they have a quiet one when they come up against you because ultimately they are really consistent. They're high-level performers week in, week out, and they just continue to get the job done. It's difficult to stop someone like Dusty. He had 22 weeks ago against Port Adelaide. He only had 23 last week in the last two losses that they've had. So he's still been able to find enough ball. It just hasn't been the more so the dominant performance in the forward half of the ground. So maybe that's where the focus is. Back half ball, no worries. Some midfield ball, okay. Just can't have that impact inside the forward 50.
Now, I've actually buried the lead here, Whitey. Normally we speak to Jono on the Zoom and he's got the beautiful big portrait of the picture behind him. He's in the family room.
I was thinking the same thing that you're going to bring up here.
The family room. He's got the beautiful painting behind him.
The beach sort of vista.
And the light coming in from the window on the side. Like, he's a gorgeous man and the lighting is magnificent. He's stuck in some cupboard today. What's happened, Jono?
Oh, I'm in the study half. I've been up working, mate, on our Xenofest for the last 2 hours already. But my lovely wife is up already and in the kitchen and my son's up. So I've been pushed out. Normally they're in bed still. So I normally get down the back, open the curtain, have the nice painting ready for you guys. But not this morning. Sorry, you got to look at a little TW Sharon in the background today.
I'm taken aback by that. I've lost my pen. Somebody pinched my pen this morning, John. Anyway, now I've got bloody no painting at the back. I mean, all sorts, though.
Yeah, it's no good.
You love the TW Sharon, mate. Don't worry about that.
That is true. That is true.
It's sort of, John, just on the game, sort of away from Dusty for a moment, but the significance of tonight's game, sometimes we can get too excited and sort of over sort of dramatise how big a particular game is, particularly when it's only in round five. But these two sides are 2-2. Richmond, we're still not sure about, but we kind of trust them because they've had slow starts in the past and gone on to win the premiership. St Kilda have been really hot or cold. How important is tonight's game, and is it more important to one team over the other?
It's more important for St Kilda, I think, in terms of where their season has started and where it wants to go to. And we look at that. You look at Melbourne last week against Geelong. To beat the Cats, last year's grand finalists, was huge for the Melbourne Footy Club in terms of where they're going this year. And it's the same for St Kilda. Now, what they did last week against the West Coast Eagles in the second half, first half wasn't great. Second half was excellent. 5-1 in the last quarter, and they get a huge win. Their confidence will be through the roof. And now they come up against a Tigers team that's lost two in a row. And, if they win and they beat the Tigers tonight, then that sets them on a path of where they feel they need to get to as a footy club. And then we sit there with the Tigers and we go, okay, they've lost three in a row. Where are they at? Are they sliding? Are they just building into the season? Because we know they will respond at some point. So the questions are different for Richmond compared to a St Kilda. Because if they get beaten by 5 or 6 goals tonight, by the Tigers, we sort of go, okay, the Saints are middle tier again. They'll win some good games throughout the year. They're still not good enough to beat the very best. So it's a huge test for the Saints.
I agree that it's a bigger game for St Kilda. Because I think not only that point you raise about winning the games that you need to win against good opposition or just being sort of one of the also-rans, Jono, it's about what they actually are this season as well. I mean, we couldn't have had more contrasting performances the last couple of weeks. And they need to work out who they are. We talked before to Dylan Scheel about Essendon and their performance against Sydney. It was about the effort and the intensity. It's all very well to have a game plan and have good players being capable. But what are you fundamentally as a footy team? And I don't think St Kilda fans watching the last couple of weeks would know just yet. They'd hope that what we saw last week was the real one. But we'll get a much better indication, win, lose or draw, of what they are this year and what the expectations should be.
So I'll ask both of you. That's huge. Sorry, yeah. John. I'll ask both of you for what's par for St Kilda. Is it a win, or what's break even? Is it a win? Is it a 3-goal loss, or is it purely and simply a little bit like Dylan was saying? It's not necessarily about the result; it's about how they play.
Oh, it's 100% like that. 100% like that. That's how they play, how the game looks from St Kilda's perspective. If they're walked all over, if they're allowed to allow Richmond to run right without too much pressure on them, if they can't find a way through with their movement, I think it's a whole category of boxes they need to look into and tick tonight to be a successful outcome, Jono. That's my take on it.
Yeah, and we all know that you've got to play four unbelievable quarters to beat the Tigers.
Yep.
And Saints haven't put four quarters together yet. So even if they put four quarters together tonight and they lose to Richmond, but they're competitive all the way through and they're right in it until the end, you go, okay, we've seen a really huge shift in the way the Saints are playing over last week, second half, and this. So six good quarters together, away they go, they springboard, they should beat the lower sides ranked in the competition. But if they don't, then that's where the questions will continue to be asked around where they're at as a footy club. So, yep. The W is huge, but it's not the be-all and end-all against the very best team in the competition in Richmond. We saw last week with Port Adelaide, and they couldn't put Richmond away. You know what I mean? They missed marks inside forward 50. They had a number of opportunities to do it, but because of Richmond's defence and team defence and intensity around the ball, it's difficult to score against them. And then it's difficult to stop them on transition when they turn the ball over. That's the issue now. That's the massive challenge for the Saints tonight. Can they do that?
And that's the beauty of playing Richmond. In a situation like this, and like the last couple of weeks that they've played, this is the perfect barometer, because Richmond are the ultimate test. Have been for the last 5 years. They're the ultimate test. And you get to find out where you sit in the scheme of things when you play Richmond. The Bulldogs are 5-0, Sydney are 4-0. Sydney are 4-0. We understand all that. But Richmond are the ultimate test, because they challenge you from start to finish in every aspect of your game.
You've got to play well to beat them. And Sydney and Port Adelaide have done that in the last 2 weeks. Yeah. I'm intrigued by tonight, Jono, because St Kilda have always given Richmond some problems in recent times, even through their premiership years, because of, I guess, the way they put speed on the ball and they make Richmond defend because they're prepared to take the game on. But kind of, in a way, it kind of changes a little bit for St Kilda, because as they get better and their expectations go up a bit, are they still prepared to be brave and take the game on? Because it's a bit of a free hit as opposed to the actual result means a bit more for them now, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Look, a few years ago, didn't they win by about 70 points, I think, in a year where the Tigers ended up winning the grand final. So yeah. You're right in that sense in terms of what they can do against the Tigers. If the game, they need the game to open up St Kilda, I think, to give themselves a realistic chance here. And I think the way the game is played, you know, Bradley Hill, Jack Sinclair, the real power runners for St Kilda are starting to get going now in the competition. Bradley Hill in particular, who I love as a player, but the way the game was played, so defensive, so structured, every time he'd break a line, he'd get closed up because the opposition were pushing up, assertive defence, all those sort of things. Now, when Bradley Hill goes, he's actually running into space. He's running into the space that he needs to perform at his best as a player, up and down the wing. So the game's opened up for him. We're seeing his talent come to the fore now, and I think himself and Sinclair are really important to the running structure of the St Kilda Footy Club. If they get the ball in their hands, handball receives behind, breaking the lines going forward, not backwards, then they'll keep themselves in the hunt right through the whole game tonight.
So the game tonight is, what is it, 7:40? 7:20. 7:20, importantly, the game tonight at Marvel Stadium for St Kilda and Richmond. Just for the teams, no change for the Saints. This stage Ben Long omitted, but they haven't announced their 23rd yet, so it's all a bit hard to work out what's going on. Daniel Riolo, Camden McIntosh in, Jack Ross, Josh Caddy and Will Martin omitted.
Why don't they name their 23rd player along with their other 22 now at the same time?
It's a great point. What do we wait because there could be something happening in a warm-up? Is that the only reason that we wait now? But surely you should be able to adjust that anyway, up until, you know, the cutoff time. So, yeah, I don't know. We just and wait in anticipation to see who's the sub tonight. Like, seriously.
Correct.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure too many people are hanging on for that, Jono.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. It is a fascinating encounter.
Wow. Let's wait to see half if a player gets on the ground at all. Wow, that's exciting.
You beauty. Here he comes. Watch him. Here he comes. We'll talk more about the game a little bit later on, because we're going to go through our tips for not only that game, but the other game as well. Other games for this weekend as well, Jono, a little bit later. You're, by the way, you're one behind me at the moment in the footy tips, so you're going okay.
Yeah, I'm hanging in there. I'm good Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Sunday hasn't been good for me this year.
You're too fatigued by then. You've done too much work. We'll get to a break because Josh Fraser's going to join us after this. He's the tear down in the VFL these days, the revamp VFL. He's coaching the Northern Bull Ants, a standalone venture. But it starts tomorrow. It's a revamp competition, as I mentioned. A fair bit happening, and great to see the Bull Ants out on their own. The former Preston Football Club doing some things as well. So Josh Fraser is going to join us to talk some more footy with Brad Johnson, our Thursday night specialist. Michael Falgate live from Flemington this morning on the Racing Pulse program. Before we hand over to Gareth Hall and RSN Central, my understanding is he has his own pen today at Flemington, Michael Falgate, so he's not the pen pincher, as far as we're aware.
We've got an issue, Jono, that someone's been stealing pens and a box of Weet-Bix. It's an interesting...
That's the last thing I expected.
Yes.
Yeah. And the almond milk. Don't forget the almond milk. You would never
have almond milk. Was it a 1 litre or a 2 litre?
Not sure.
That's the thing. I'm not sure Weet-Bix and almond milk combined. I'm not too sure about that.
Almond milk should be banned from society. That's what should happen.
How do you milk an almond, firstly? And then off the SMS, Rama has been accused of being the almond milk pincher. And I think that's about right.
Rama.
Yeah, no, he'd be
what sort of almond milk? Was it your small pack of Weet-Bix? Was it your extra large pack?
I think it's 32 bricks.
It's the family pack.
It's your 64 bricks to value.
Yes.
It's your 64 bricker. I mean, it's a big pack.
We have asked Rama whether he was involved in the Weet-Bix stealing, and this was the sort of reaction we got from him.
How loud do you want it?
He's a very aggressive man. Very aggressive. Hey, Jono, we digress. Fox Footy last night, and I love watching you on Fox Footy, and sometimes I like, in fact, all the time I watch Nick Riewoldt, and I like watching him as well when he talks about footy. He did say a very odd thing last night in regards to concussion and the protocols and the 12-day system the AFL are running with now. I'd like you to have a listen.
I'm taking it as far as I can take it.
To where?
To Supreme Court. I'm going for an injunction. I understand the severity of concussion, and we heard Chelsea's, but so there's a very clear parameter here, and the parameter is if I feel okay to play, then I'm taking it as far as I possibly can to play. When you give as much as players give their whole careers for one thing, and that's to play in a grand final and win a premiership. And last year, you would have been able to.
Yep.
Last year, you would have been able to, provided you passed the test. There was no... And it's because of the ambiguous way, I think, in which concussion can be diagnosed. Now, I'm not talking about a situation where you've been stretched off and you don't know your own name. Let's be really clear. But if I'm feeling OK and they're saying you've got to sit 12 days out, which is an arbitrary number, well, then I'm seeking an injunction and I'm trying to play.
So the former Kilda captain, who played in a couple of grand finals, so he's been there a couple of times, suggesting that with the current situation, Jono, where there is no bye at this stage before the grand final, which may change just by the way, that he would take as much action as possible to make sure that he was available despite a concussed diagnosis. What's your take on that?
Yeah, if he was feeling okay, he'd push it as far as he could. And you know what, Half? We can understand the mentality around that because of, you know, the passion to play. If I'm feeling okay, then I should be able to get out there and do it. But with all the research and everything that's been undertaken in the concussion space, and we've come to that decision now of the break to allow the brain and the body to heal post a head knock, I think it's really important, and we've got to be really careful here. Look, I go back to my own personal experiences of being knocked out a couple of times early in my career, and I played the following week, Half, and I don't know whether you've sort of been through that as well, because I played the following week because I was feeling okay. Yep. I passed the tests and I was feeling okay, but I played poorly the following week. So was I really okay? So mentally I'm going to myself, yeah, I'm okay, I've passed the test, but was I really? Yep. So if I had taken the extra week, which is happening now, then maybe it's a better result for that following performance that you're playing. So that's where it becomes a little bit tricky now, because the player will say, yep, I feel great, I'm ready to go. But with all the data, are the players really ready to go? And that's why now we take a break, because we need time for them to heal, even if you are feeling okay.
Well, we're seeing that 12 days at times is nowhere near long enough for a lot of the concussions. There's plenty that can come back after just the week and be fine, because it's not as severe, because every player reacts differently. But my thing is, Jono, if there is a 12-day protocol in place, and you agree, you've signed a contract to play under the rules of the Australian Football League and whatever interpretations and rules that they put in place, how could you fight it? I mean, I'm sure there's probably ways you could do it, but don't you make an agreement with yourself and your club and your competition that you will play under their conditions?
Well, that's exactly right. Yeah, you do. You sign on the dotted line, and you fall under the parameters of what is set by the head office. So that's just the nature of it. You've got to accept it. Chelsea Randall has accepted it in a really, really positive way. And it'd be tough for her this week, no doubt, watching her teammates prepare and get ready for a grand final. And she's such a big player at that football club. But the way that she's spoken this week, I think, has been extremely professional. I think it's been enlightening to hear a player understand the current situation of concussion and dealing with it and accepting the fact that you do need to rest and your brain is more important than the game.
Yeah, I think it's a narrow view from Nick. I know there's grand finals and you want to achieve those things, but I must admit I was surprised to hear that from him last night. I'm sure there'll be plenty of conversation about that through the weekend. John, let's go through your tips. St Kilda, Richmond tonight.
Oh, I'm going for the Tigers to bounce back.
West Coast at home to Collingwood tomorrow night.
West Coast Eagles.
The Sydney and GWS game is Saturday at the SCG. And the GWS black jumper, just by the way, is awesome.
It does look good. I did pick that up as well, Half. I don't think it'll be enough, though, to get them the win.
Sydney for that one. Bulldogs and Gold Coast at Marvel.
The Doggies.
Carlton hosting Port Adelaide at the MCG. That game is, I think, Saturday night.
I'm going for the Power to win that one.
Brisbane Vegas taking on the Bombers.
Oh, this would be a good game. I'm going for the Lions at home.
Yeah, Essendon, massive outsiders there in the books. Yep. I reckon there's good value if you're going to play that game. Adelaide hosting Fremantle.
I'm going for the Fremantle Dockers.
Hawthorn hosting the D's at the MCG.
Nah, the D's will win this one.
And the Cats and the Kangas on Sunday afternoon.
The Cats clean that one up, Huff.
I think they might. Jono, always a great pleasure.
We should get nine this week, Huff. We should get nine this week.
I think we might. You'll still be one behind me if that's the case. I think I might go a very similar program to you. Great to see you, mate. Next week, we have the painting back, please.
Yes, done, boys. Guaranteed.
Good stuff. Brad Johnson, you can catch him on Fox Footy across the weekend. Of course, every Thursday morning here as our Thursday night specialist